Are you receiving us, Ash?
Malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat, and nothing but the whole truth. It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Goodbye.
Hey, this is part two of the Sisters Q&A. Sister Indica in Florida linked with me, Sister Bang Bang, here in Manchester to create a duet. And we're answering the questions that you submitted over the last couple of weeks. So, without further ado, let us carry on. Right, let's move on. Next question. I've lost my place. Oh, there we go. Janie in New York. Hi, Janie.
Hey, Janie, you're on my side of the pond.
Janie says, what do your families think of you being a sister?
Well, my family, they, I'm just thinking about the awful stuff we just talked about. Like, they'd probably be more upset at me being total slut than they would be me being a sister. But actually, because I do have a partner, and his family, for the most part, does not know that I'm a sister. So we kind of keep it a secret because they're very, very Catholic. But my side of the family, my family, they're fine with it. My sister knows. My family lives very far away. So my family has never met Sister Indica in person. They just know I do this work on the side. My mother actually is a very big fan of Sister Indica, and I think when it boils down, her opinion is the one I would be most nervous about. But I have aunts and stuff like that, cousins that know, and that they're very supportive. If anyone is not supportive, they've never told me.
Well, and also there should be, because it's not just a dressing up thing, as we've discussed, is it? You do a lot of really powerful work, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, and that work I was talking about that I was doing powerfully in the last question, I was not a nun then. I was not a nun.
You were maybe thinking about it for a nanosecond.
Right.
Well, my mum is 89 now, so really me being a sister doesn't come into her world. I don't think she'd be able to, she has dementia as well, so aww. It's not something that she, you know, her world is very different to mine, well, you know, as a generalization. So I don't tell her because I don't think she'd compute, she wouldn't understand it, but certainly sort of... my age group, so my sister, my nephews, my nieces in particular in Birmingham, they when they first met up, they were only about like 6 months ago. They'd obviously seen the pictures on Facebook, but I always leave it there. I sort of plant the seed, going back to your previous conversation. And, you know, I let them come forward to me, and they started, and they said, have you got any more pictures of what you like as Sister Bang Bang? So I showed, and they just started asking loads and loads of questions. They obviously were really interested, and, you know, half of it is, you know, they find it outrageous, and half of it, they're really interested because it's not just fancy dress. It's, you know, there's a lot more to it, and that's where you draw, you know, your family in when they go, oh, right, okay, fine, this is interesting. So what else do you do? Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I'd say my family are very supportive. But, of course, going back to, like I said before, if you read the Manchester Sisters website and my blog on there, you'll see where I've come from. Because originally I was an Austrian aristocracy, you see. my mother used to sing on stage, and that's where she gave birth to me during a particularly violent cymbal crash of a production of The Tempest. And I shot across the stage together with four of my siblings. So, you know, I was brought into this world on the stage, and I've remained there ever since.
I will say, though, because my family lives so far away that even if they didn't care or like what I was doing, it would make no difference because they're not immediately in my life. But my coworkers, because I've worked for the same company for many, 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 many years, and I know these people so well that they're basically like an extension of my family. They are very supportive of Sister Indica and me and the work that I do as a sister. They've come to fundraisers. They've given money for donations for events. They've given me raffle prizes. They've been very supportive. They've been to lots of my events when I was in San Diego. So Yeah, I will say that I'm very lucky to have very supportive people in my life.
Good.
From all angles.
No, I'm really glad about that. A very good friend of mine, who's very supportive of me being, a sister, did say, "I take it you don't tell anybody at work." And I went, "Absolutely not." No, I mean, as in, I do tell them at work. I don't hide it. I don't throw it in their faces. But if somebody can't accept me for what I am and what I do, and I'm not harming anybody, in fact, totally the opposite, then you're not going to be part of my life. You know, at the end of the day, I am what I am. And you've got to accept that.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day. You're listening to Chinwag with myself, Sister Bang Bang.
And Sister Indica with Joy Bomb.
You said that so sweetly.
I'm pretending.
You're on your kickstart.
And we're back. This is Sister Indica from Joy Bomb, and my lovely pal, sister, friend from thousands of miles away in Manchester, England, Sister Bang Bang.
With Chinwag, it's a double pro, and it's so good. We've generated such a good friendship, I feel. We've never properly met physically, but it kind of just doesn't feel that way. It just feels as though we're just like, we're friends, aren't we? We just end up chatting.
Soul sisters.
So yeah, it is, isn't it? It's a bit like that. I was thinking, worst case scenario, if we actually meet and then we just sit there not talking to each other.
Oh, please.
But that's never going to happen.
Ever. Never. Just get that concern right out of your head.
In fact, there won't be enough hours in the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll have to converge on the astral plane.
Oh, it's not one of your dark room scenarios again, is it?
No, this is a place where time doesn't exist.
That'd be so nice, that. Shall we carry on then with the questions we've had from our fans?
Yes. Shall I start?
You start.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is from Gary in Johannesburg, and I'm such an American, I don't exactly know what country that is.
South Africa.
There we go. I knew it was something. And he says, which three film stars would you invite for a dinner, dead or alive?
I find this so difficult because it's just three. I could invite like hundreds. It'd be a very big dinner party. Okay, so I chose three. And this wasn't people who I'm necessarily really big fans of. I'm a really big fan of them. It's because I think they're just really interesting. Or they could be, and they've got a lot to talk about. Number one would be Elvis.
Okay, yeah, he was a film star, wasn't he?
He was a film star, yes. And I'm not like a huge, massive... I like his music, but I'm not a huge fan of it. But I think he'd be a really interesting person to speak to and talk to in a dinner party. Let his hair down, sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I could see that.
Second one, and there is a little bit of a theme going on there, Cher.
Right, she was a film star too.
She is a film star, yeah. And again, it's sort of similar in a way. Bette Midler.
Yes. I am one of the biggest Bette Midler fans in the world.
No, I'm one of the biggest.
No, I am.
I'm the biggest. I'm much bigger.
Okay, yeah, you're bigger.
No, I'm not. Well, I said, I mean, you in America get Bette Midler a lot in terms of she does the shows and what have you. It's so rare that Bette Midler comes over here. She came over here last year. I saw her at the Manchester Arena and it was just phenomenal. I loved Bette Midler before that show. I adored her afterwards. Somebody can do, like comedy and pathos and ballads and up-tempo numbers and, the whole show business package and keep people in the palm of our hands for the whole of that show. That takes somebody to have been there, to have done it, to have, to have grown up in a gay bathhouse when she first started her career. I want to throw those three people together. Obviously, one is dead, one is alive, and one is kind of bridging the gap between the two.
Oh, you bitch.
I didn't say who it was, but But I'm sure that, you know, that they would all add something in. In fact, it would be one of those conversations that you probably won't get a word in edgeways. So, yeah, that's my three.
Well, we have one in common, which will come as no surprise, that one of the people I would have invited would absolutely be Bette Midler, because I am such a fan of her. I've been a fan of her since I was probably like 7 or 8 years old. And the first thing I ever heard from her was the soundtrack to The Rose. So I never saw the movie. I just heard the soundtrack. And the song, The Rose, was always played on the radio. So that's how I knew of it. You know, my mom had the cassette and she would play it all the time. And when I was 9 years old, because we were very poor, she ended up giving me that cassette in my Christmas stocking, like wrapped up. So that she gave it to me because I was basically borrowing it, listening to it all the time. She's like, I'm just going to give it to you. It could be yours. So the very first album I owned was the soundtrack to The Rose. And from there, my obsession with her just grew. Every movie she was doing, every single movie she did, I gobbled it up. Every single album she did, I gobbled up. Probably until 95. And then my interest in her started to change because I was getting older. I was, you know, my musical tastes were changing, but I still love her. I still find her. I still love her movies. My favorite movie in the world is Big Business. That's my number one favorite movie of all time.
All right.
I've seen it hundreds of times. I could act it out. And in fact, I want to do a stage version of Big Business. That's my dream, is to do a stage version with drag queens of the movie Big Business and do a stage adaptation of it. And that's my dream.
And which role would you want to play?
Sadie. Bette Midler's role when she was yeah. The bitch, the mean one from New York. Like she's my spirit animal. So Bette Midler would be at my dinner. And because I have been so like really going into older movies and just really finally watching them with staples, gay staples that I never watched as a child or a teen or even in my 20s, I'm now going back in time and watching them. So I would have Joan Crawford and Bette Davis.
Oh, God, that would have been my fourth one, Joan Crawford. Yes,
I'm more of a Bette Davis kind of person. And I think of myself as the Bette Davis of the sisterhood. Because she had a really bad reputation, but and in the end she was very professional and just very truthful and honest. She wasn't mean. She was just very honest and truthful and very professional, but with had a very bad reputation.
But you are blanched. You are in that wheelchair.
And Joan Crawford, I've never really been a Joan Crawford person. I was always a Mommy Dearest kind of person. So Faye Dunaway's interpretation of Joan Crawford was the only Joan Crawford I knew. And then I did see the movie that she did with Bette Davis, you know, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And I was really more into Bette Davis. So I was watching all Bette Davis movies. But recently I decided to, you know, give Joan a chance. And I watched Mildred Pierce and have now fallen in love with Joan Crawford. So now I will go back and watch all of her movies because I'm very drawn. I'm drawn to her aesthetic. I'm drawn to her wide shoulders.
Well, you know, this to me, when you have conversations about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, Betty to me was always the actress. Joan was always the movie star.
Yeah.
And that's reflected by what you've just said about she was the clothes horse. She you know, even in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, you know, she looked glamorous.
Right. She's in a wheelchair.
In a wheelchair for like how many years has she been in that bedroom? And she looks as though she just stepped out of a makeup truck. Oh, that's because she had.
right.
But Bette Davis didn't give a shit. In fact, she thought it was important that, you know, she look the part. And she did. She looked kind of gross in Betty in Baby Jane, but
oh,
it fitted
awful.
The part.
Oh,
but it was, fitted, didn't it?
It was, oh my God. And I like Bette Davis from like now Voyager, like old Bette Davis when she was just stunning in her prime, or What About Eve, or All About Eve. All About Eve. Are you kidding me? That movie? Oh my fucking God. And I will say, as a sister, I've had many All About Eve moments.
I have met
many Eves in my time. Let me just tell you, I've met many Eves. But yeah, I love them, and I know that they have drama, Bette Davis and Joan Crawford. So I think it'd be a very interesting meal to have, because I think Joan would be very nice and professional and kind. And I think Bette would just be glowering at Joan and just, you know, not really easy to hide her emotions, like like me. So she and I would be probably be having a cigarette outside talking shit about Joan. And Bette can entertain Joan while we're talking shit about her.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember it's years ago. There used to be a tacky drag queen called Barry Stevens in Manchester, and Barry was brilliant because he was an act within an act. He used to get paid in cans of lager rather than cash, so he was always like pissed as a fart, and his wigs are obviously been in a bin bag, in and out of a bin bag for 20 odd years. And but he did this routine of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, and his only prop was a wheelchair, and he played both roles. And he really was pissed as a fart, so he'd stagger from standing up as Baby Jane to staggering to plopping into the wheelchair as, you know, the Joan Crawford part. And I mean, I can't really remember the words he said, but it was just so funny because it was so bad. And whenever he did it, you know, you knew Barry Stevens were on, you know, there used to be a crowd and they'd be saying, do Baby Jane, do Baby Jane, do Baby. You used to think it was because he was really good. No, it was because you were crap, Barry. But we loved you for it. We wanted more of it. But so there's our three. But isn't it funny how Bette Midler's, you mentioned The Rose, and it's one of those songs you just hear like two or three notes and you know straight away, don't you?
Oh, you know, I know it after, yeah, two notes. I know exactly what it is.
Like this?
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
No.
No. It's me on the piano in the background.
Oh, is that you? Oh.
It was me. No. you're listening to Tune Wag with myself, Sister Bang Bang, and...
Sister Indica with Joy Bomb.
Oh, you put in on that sexy voice all the time.
Always. That's why the men give me so much money. Remember, no refunds, gentlemen, no refunds.
And back in the box. Here we are again.
Yay.
It's you.
It's me.
Sister Indica with Joy Bomb and...
Sister Bang Bang for Chin Wag.
That was... a little surreal, that. I like it. We're answering your questions. I was going to say in this hour, but it's good to go over an hour at this rate. This is fun.
Are you going to permit this to be a longer episode of Chin Wag? Because I don't want you. I know you have strict rules, and I think you need to loosen up a little bit. Bang bang.
God forbid that you're the bossy one.
Listen up, bang bang.
I will allow a little. Actually, let's do this last bit at double speed, and then it will fit the hour, man. And then you have to slow down to. Let's go for the next question. Who asked the last one? I'm lost. Was it you or me? It was you, remember. Wasn't it?
Was it? Yes. Yeah, you start this one off.
This is a nameless one. What does your name mean, and why did you choose it? Did you consider any other? So that's three questions in one. What does your name mean? Why did you choose it? Did you consider any others?
Okay, well, I will say that I had many names I was toying with, but I ended up having a name given to me when I was first a postulant. The name that was given to me was given to me by my mother, Sister Noratorius, and she gave me the name Shelby Hellbound. And I was Shelby Hellbound from the very beginning until late 2011, where I then changed my name to Sister Indica Sativa, the Holy Hybrid, a name that I came up with, finally found a name for myself, because I just, you know, I felt like I grew out of that name. I felt that name was a little bit more country, a little bit more, you know, I don't know, wasn't as chic and glamorous as the nun that I was becoming. But in terms of what my name means, my name is a marijuana reference. Indica, Sativa, both of them are strains of marijuana. Indica is a healing, it's more a strain that someone would ingest if they wanted, you know, a heal from pain. So for me as a sister, I think one of my major goals in my work is to heal people. I want to be a healing force. Even as sassy as I am, when I'm one-on-one with people, I like to listen to them. I like to give them advice. I like to just to be a shoulder to cry on or someone that they can spill their guts to without shame or guilt. So I like to have a, I like to heal. So indica is more of a healing version of marijuana. And when you take indica and sativa and combine them, you get a hybrid. So that's why I'm the holy hybrid. So Sister Indica Sativa, the holy hybrid.
Wow. So I did do my homework. It's funny how people say, well, get it all wrong with your name. There's so many people doing it. It's so easy to find on Google or Bing.
I know. Google it.
Mm. See, it's a good one. I like that.
Yeah,
like,
but what about you, Bang Bang? Because I'm very curious to know what your name means and why you chose it.
Well, my name, I did have a name before Bang Bang, and I can't remember what it was. I think I only had it for like sort of like 20 minutes or something, and then I changed it. I chose it myself, and it's a name that's been stuck in the back doors of my brain, in some little cellar room in my brain for years. Because Bang Bangladesh was the name of one of the drag queens in the film Torch Song Trilogy with Harvey Pitt.
I never knew.
It was, yes, and it's right near the beginning, and there's a whole group of them. There was one called Bang Bangladesh, one called Victoria Ham, which I never got that. I imagine it's an American reference, is it?
I don't even get it either.
Maybe it's a ham that's made by a company called Victoria.
Maybe.
And there were a whole load of them, and I just giggled at that name, and I thought, oh, that is fabulous, that. And I stored it away for future, and then when I decided the path of righteousness deserved a name to fit, I thought, oh, Bang Bangladesh. And I the great thing about it is that I get so many people waving at me in the street, or if I go down into Manchester's gay village, or, you know, they'll send messages on Facebook and Twitter, and they'll always call me Bang Bang. And it's such an easy name. It's a bit like Indica. You know, Indica is an easy name to just
is it?
Your tongue. Yeah, well, I find it is, but I use it quite a lot. Yeah, so.
I thought it was easy too, but so many people have a difficulty pronouncing it, and I'm just like, well, why didn't I choose a name that was more like Bang Bang? It was easier to say. And, you know, I think that's why Roma has such good name recognition, because she's Roma. It's very easy. It's Roma. You can't mess it up. You could easily spell it. And for someone like me who is really into marketing and branding, it was a very stupid decision, personally.
No, I do like yours.
But I love it.
Yeah, but Bang Bang, you know, it does work well. And also, have you seen the recent photographs of me in my faux fur when I've got my laser cut Perspex identity badge?
Yes, I love the badge.
Which is about 3 foot wide and it's on my around my neck on a white leather thong. And that's a marketing thing as well, because whenever anybody takes my picture, my name is always there.
It's brilliant. I thought it just looks beautiful. It looks really well made.
It is. The first version of that fell to bits. The last letter of my name fell off, and I was doing this porno bingo with Sister Jackie. And she turned to me. This is on stage with microphones and a whole audience looking at us. And she went, darling, there's something wrong with your name badge. And I looked down at it, went, what? And the last letter had fallen off, the G. So I said, oh my God, has anybody seen my G? It's around the club somewhere. Of course, everybody was pissed themselves laughing, and it wasn't a set up joke. You know, it was genuine that I had lost my G letter, not the other substance. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I really love the name Bang Bang. I don't tend to use the Ladesh very often. There is a drag queen called Bang Bang Ladesh, L-E, but mine's an L-A. And also, because I am registered with Equity, Bang Bang Ladesh, Sister Bang Bang Ladesh is protected as a acting name as well. Oh, so
I love that.
So no bitch can get their hands on my name, lovey.
I know. We need to do that for me, because now I've already had two sisters around the world that have taken the name Indica, spelling differently. But I need to protect this motherfucker.
You do. And then just get a whole load of letters photocopied, cease and desist letters. So you can just whack them out whenever you
exactly.
see your name. Exactly. Darling, cease and desist. Otherwise, nothing more rattled than a sister or a drag queen. So that's right. Yeah, I have Harvey Fierstein to thank for my name. Thank you, Harvey.
Oh, I love that. I was always wondering, so I'm glad that anonymous person asked that question because I personally have been waiting to hear it.
Oh, I thought you knew, actually.
It's almost like they read my mind.
Well, I wouldn't go too close to Sister Indica's mind.
No.
you might need disinfecting after.
You might need a psychologist. You'll need a psychologist. You might need to go to rehab.
There's a song about that. There is. Any show? What time is it? Oh, we've got one more question.
One more question. Do you want me to ask it?
Oh, yes.
Okay, it's from my friend Chris from Austin, Texas. So Chris Ashton from my Twitter pal, who has also been on Joy Bomb, and he's a delightful chap, as you would say in England. He's
hello,
delightful. His name is Chris. And it says, what is one thing you wish you could bring over from the other person's country and one thing you are sorry that you gave the other country?
Oh, that is a difficult one, that one.
I know.
Oh, that is a real bitch. Just thanks, Chris. Hi, Chris. Is Chris single?
No, sorry.
I just constantly on the fish. One thing you wish you could bring over from the other person's country. The sun, the good weather from where you are, and beaches, and those lovely clouds scudding across a blue sky. I love the beach. I love warm weather. And that to me would be something if you could sort of uproot a little bit of it and bring it over. That would be fabulous. Before I answer the final bit, you tell me what is the one thing you could bring over from my country.
Education.
Do you like it, dear?
No, I'm good. I'm fine. But I just feel like, I don't know. Just a culture, a culture of people who are polite. That would be really nice. Cause like I said, things are going crazy over here in America, and it'd be really nice if we had some education, some culture, and some manners. So I would definitely bring that over from England.
It's interesting that, because you don't think of us being any more cultured or less cultured than you are.
You are.
Again, it's how we say it, isn't it?
Trust me.
It's how we talk.
I will vouch. You're classier. I want that. I want some of that over here.
Okay, darling. I'll bring it over in abundance when I come and visit.
Please, please bring extra. Bring extra for everyone.
All right. And this other bit. One thing you are sorry that you gave the other country. That was like near impossible. What have we given you?
Freedom.
I was going to say freedom. I'll take that back from you, you bitches. Independence. No, it's the United States of Britain, darlings, over there. But it's great. Americans loved, or a lot of Americans seem to love our very British TV programs, like Downton Abbey. I'm not quite sure why.
Oh, there's a lot. There's Queer as Folk. There's The Office. There's a lot of shows that started off another one is Shameless, that started off as English shows, and then we took them and made them American versions.
Have you seen the UK version of Shameless?
No.
Oh, right. Well, you know that was filmed in Manchester.
Was it?
And Queer as Folk, the original, was filmed in Manchester, and it used our gay village.
Yes, yeah, I saw some of the original Queer as Folk from the UK. I liked it, but I am kind of more fond of the American version just because, I don't know, they're American and I can understand them. I have a really hard time with a lot of UK TV. I can't always understand what your references are. Or sometimes even what you're saying. I'm like, what are they saying? What? So I'm like, okay, forget it. I'll just watch the American version.
But that's the same with us. We hear references. I mean, I was just looking at the difference, different words between UK and the US. You know, how we use different words. I mean, you use one in particular, which is always, my heart beats triple time when I hear it. And that's the fanny word.
Oh, right. Right. Because it's different.
It's mega different. It is so different. I mean, fanny over there means your bum, isn't it? Your ass.
Right. And it's a polite word for it. It would, like, if I was trying to be polite and talk about that, I would say someone's fanny. It's like an old lady would say, like, don't touch my fanny.
Oh, God. You see, that's just making me laugh because over here, the fanny is a semi-crudish word for a woman's front bottom.
Right.
It's their genitalia. It is their genitalia. That's our word. So whenever we hear the funny word, like you do, like an old lady saying that, that would be like hilarious.
Right, because it's polite. It's the polite way of saying that here. And over there, it's a crude way of saying something else. So you probably laugh every time you hear anyone talk about fanny packs.
I do. Yes, that's just hilarious.
And for you English listeners, a fanny pack in America is, it's like a belt that you wear that has just a bladder where you could put, you know, your phone, your keys, your money, lipstick, chapstick, whatever. It's just something you could wear on your hip. So you wear it on your hip, like, and they call it a fanny pack, which doesn't make any sense because it's not, you don't wear it behind you. You wear it on the, to your side, very solid, or even yeah. sometimes in the front, which is just even more confusing.
I'm trying to think about all the other words as well, which we have differences, but a biscuit's one of them as well.
Yeah, because a biscuit here is a baked good that is fluffy and you put gravy on it, which you probably have a different word for gravy too. But it's a Southern delicacy, biscuits and gravy. We love it in the South. Biscuits in general are just delicious, and you put, you know, jelly or jam or marmalade on them. They're good. Butter.
See, there's another one there. Jelly. We'll come to that though. Biscuit over here is a baked good as well, but it's flat and thin and comes in packets.
Right. It's like a cookie.
It's a cookie.
Right.
Yeah, it's a cookie. That's what we call biscuits over here. A lot more. We don't use cookie at all, really. That we see that as an Americanism. But yeah, cookie. But jelly is another thing as well. This is the weird thing. You say you spread jelly.
Yes.
Is it like jam and honey and that sort of thing?
It is. It's like jam, but it's like jam will have like pieces of fruit in there. It's like more like you're spreading, like, you know, it's real. You could see the fruit in it. Jelly is more like a gelatin version of that. And it's like clear, but it's flavored like strawberry, grape, whatever. I prefer jam. I actually prefer marmalade. That's my favorite. I'm like Paddington Bear. I prefer marmalade. And I like that because I like citrus and I like the bits of orange that are in marmalade. So I prefer marmalade. But Americans, for the most part, eat jelly.
Right. It's a jelly is kind of similar, but jelly is it's the flavored gelatin. But you get like the same as you were saying, strawberry and what have you.
Yeah, but it's jello.
But it's bigger, and you'll have custard or cream on top of it, and have it in a dish. So it's you'll spoon it into your mouth, and it's yes. like an after your main course. But it's usually for kids.
Yeah, and we call that jello.
You call that jello? That's like a trade name, isn't it?
Yeah,
really,
right.
Jello.
We call that jello.
I'm fascinated. I love the differences between, you know, languages like this.
And speaking of food, because this is kind of goes with my answer to this question, the one thing I'm sorry that we gave your country is I'm sure we gave you fast food, like McDonald's and Burger King and all that kind of stuff. I'm sorry that we gave you guys fast food.
And so you should be, Sister Indica. So you should be.
I'm so sorry. Do you know that? You know, my friend, I have a friend who is a teacher, and every time there's a break in school, he goes on a trip around the world, somewhere in the world. He has been everywhere. And anywhere you could think of, he's been there. He goes to the most remote places. He goes to the most popular places. He goes everywhere. And I've known him for like 17 years, and he just always is off to a different adventure every time there's a break. Well, one time he spent a month in Egypt, and of course he had to see the pyramids. And I have had a lifelong obsession with Egypt and pyramids and, you know, hieroglyphics and pharaohs and, you know, Cleopatra. I'm very drawn to that area. And he took all these pictures, and he came over, and we were going through his photos and, you know, talking about his trip. The pyramids are all, like, a lot of the lower parts of them are all graffitied. People are so disrespectful. There's litter, there's garbage, there's graffiti. And then you look across the street, where across from the Sphinx, the direction the Sphinx is facing, and there's a Pizza Hut.
Oh, you spread everywhere.
As soon as he showed me that, when I saw the graffiti, the trash, and the Pizza Hut, I decided at that point I'll never go to Egypt.
Oh, no, you will anyway. No. It's strange. This is the first time I've heard you say about Egypt. I'm a massive ancient Egyptology fan. Bigger than
really?
You.
Really? I'm sure.
I'm bigger than you.
Of course. You're older. You've had more years to study it.
Damn.
But yes, I love it. And I have the Eye of Ra on my arm, actually.
Oh, wait, do you know, talking of graffiti, though, I don't know where it is, probably in quite a few of the tombs there that you can actually go inside. And there's one where it's, I don't know whether it's one of the Great Pyramids, the Cheops or what have you, but it's vast inside and it takes you ages to get higher and higher and higher inside it. And right at the top, there's loads of graffiti. Oh. But the graffiti goes way back to like Napoleon's soldiers who scribed graffiti inside it as well. So it kind of has a, you know, you can't stop it. So that to me was like, my God, that really is historic.
Right, it's history within history.
Yeah, which is like fascinating. So in a way, I'm glad that they did do that graffiti.
So did you see the Pizza Hut?
No, I've not been there. It's only when I've seen, I watch National Geographic, I own it. Okay. So yeah, it's, you always get lots of good Egyptology programs on that. Yes. We've come to our last question, but questions, isn't it? At the end of our first duet.
I know, it was so much fun.
But we've got a question each, which we have not let the other one know about.
Right, that's right. I forgot about that question. Thank you for reminding me. Now I remember.
Now you remember. And now you can pull it out from where you wrote it only like an hour and a half ago.
Okay.
Maybe.
This is my question to you.
Okay.
Is where do you see Sister Bang Bang in 5 years? So it's almost like I'm interviewing you for a job. Where do you see, and I'm specifically talking about Bang Bang, where do you see Sister Bang Bang in 5 years? Or if you could, even if you could dream up something, like let's pretend that we're, you know, drawing a vision board and we're going to call this into the universe. Where do you want to see Sister Bang Bang in 5 years?
Okay. Interesting question. I'd like to see Bang Bang hosting huge scale events and being on her fifth film because, one, I love presenting. It's been my life anyway. I've done it for many, many years. So I love that interaction with people, like a chat show type event, only visual as well as auditorily. But also, I am actually more than at the beginning of making a film with Bang Bang in it.
Ooh!
We've got onto the second draft. This is exclusive. I've never not really released this to hardly anybody, certainly not publicly on a podcast. But we're in the second draft of the script. It's a short film. It'll be less than half an hour. We've got a tiny little bit of funding, and we'll be filming in Manchester and Berlin at the Sisters Conclave in September. And that was one of the reasons why I said on Facebook a few days ago, any sisters going to the Berlin Conclave, which is where we all gather once a year, somewhere in the world. Because I need lots and lots of sisters for a couple of the scenes in the film. And I'm not going to tell you what the story is. But I'm still trying to see if we can get Sister Indica to be part of it, even if it's via a Skype call.
We'll make it happen.
Because it's easy to do.
Of course.
So easy. So that's where I see Sister Bang Bang. I want more media stuff. I love media. I work easily with media. So that's me. My question to you, a very, very different.
Oh, let's hear it.
Totally different. Who's the one person that Sister Indica would most like to kiss?
Ooh. Well, that's a tough question because... I don't like to even eat when I'm in face. So kissing is a little, I would have to bring my lipstick as backup and maybe some glitter as backup to do, because I do like 3 or 4 products, 5 sometimes products on my lips. So I don't like to do anything that's going to destroy them. But if I was going to, who would I kiss?
And we're talking like the full tongue kiss.
Right. I'm trying to think of who I'm really into right now. That's such a tough question. I would have to just think of who is my favorite, who I think is just gorgeous. I don't know why it's so difficult for me to think of this question because there's so many men that I think are gorgeous, but I'm trying to think of someone that has name recognition so people would know who I'm talking about. I have one who I think is just someone I think is so gorgeous, and he's actually kind of a friend of mine, or we're acquainted at least. But I would say Connor Habib, who is a adult film star. But not only is he an adult film star, he is a very brilliant, highly educated person who also teaches at college university level. So he has the perfect mix of good looks and brains, and I think he's absolutely gorgeous. And yeah, I would totally make out with him.
I like that. I like the fact that you also know him. I've just as you were talking there, I've Googled his name.
He's gorgeous, isn't he?
Well, I don't know, because it's just brought a huge list up of Sinead O'Connor. Because I think it's one of her songs has got Habib as one of the song titles. So it's just come up with loads of Sinead O'Connor. So yeah. I just still don't know what he looks like.
But he went to school, and he teaches at a school that I used to work at in Massachusetts. So we have that connection, which is knowing anyone that knows that small little town that this college is in. I'm always delighted when I meet anyone who knows that area. It's always like, oh, you know the area? Do you know this restaurant? Do you know this place? Do you know this apartment building I used to live in? Because the apartment building I lived in was very known in that area. All the college kids, for the most part, lived there. So it's just nice to know anyone who knows these references. So the fact that he knows those references, that he's so good looking, that he's so brilliant and political and well-read. He is just everything. I like a smart guy.
Does he know you've got this lusting after him as well?
Probably not, because I'm such a lady.
Well, he knows about it now.
I know. Hey, Connor. Hey, Connor. We can make this work. I'll just wear normal lipstick. I won't do the glitter, so I can reapply.
Well, you can always put something like, I don't know, some form of like gloss varnish on there from your local DIY store, can't you?
Sure, why not?
Seal your lips so nothing comes off.
That's right.
it was quite an open duet, wasn't it, in the last hour and a half?
I know, so much was revealed. Too much was revealed.
Too late now. We never read it.
Damn.
So I suppose the next thing is we must do this again.
Absolutely.
Different questions, of course.
Of course. So, hey, guys, like the next time we ask you to give us questions, hey, see how much fun it is to give us questions? We give such fun answers. So next time we put a call out, you know what to expect. Something very unexpected.
Well, I think we should do it now, as in the call out, not the program. But you should message either Sister Indica or myself, Sister Bang Bang. Do it privately. Don't do it publicly, because we don't want everybody else to know your question before we actually do the program. But if you get your question in now, it means that you'll be at the top of the queue.
And how do people find you on Facebook?
I'm there, darling. You can't miss me. I'm a friend of Sister Indica's, and if you just type in bang bang, as in just one word, I will pop up. I'm the one that looks gorgeous in a habit.
Yeah, just the one. Just that one.
Just that one. Yeah, no one else.
Right.
So, yes, get your question in now. Not you, Sister Indica. I want your friends and my friends to do it. We've got quite a lot between us.
I think we can make it work. We could do a part. We have to do a part two. We have to. The world needs it.
It's going to go into like a weekly series. It's going to be like an animated version of Star Wars. It's going to just constantly be churned out.
Hey, works for me.
So until next time, then, you're going off to do your own program next week, and I'm off to do my program.
So make sure you're subscribing to both of our shows too.
It's dead easy. It's free as well. It's through Podomatic. You'll see the link on both of our Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever you want to do. We don't send out unsolicited emails. It's totally secure. So
right, and you can. And if you don't like, and if you don't want to do it on Podomatic, you can always subscribe on iTunes. We're both on iTunes.
Yes, though this particular episode will definitely be an explicit rating.
Oh, mine always are.
Mine vary between explicit and clean, but this one definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Not safe for work. Absolutely not safe for work.
So we're off now, but carry on tuning into us. Don't forget you can subscribe to us as well, like Sister Indica says. Sister Indica, I love you. This has been fabulous.
I love you too. I can't wait to do this again. And I can't wait to have you visit us over here in Florida.
Yes, where there's such an invite, as well as yourself.
Of course. I'm you know, yeah. I'm a lot more dangerous than the weather. They say to fear the hurricanes here, but I think you should be more afraid of me.
That should have been your name, though. Sister Indica of the Hurricanes. Until next time, darling.
Bye, darling.
Bye.